Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
On this week's episode, we will be discussing Prince Harry and Barack Obama's bromance and Blake Lively's latest project.
We also have a special segment featuring a lovely guest, Alexandra Daddario of Baywatch. She was in the studio last week, and Josh and I talked to her about Zac Efron dating rumors, The Rock as a potential presidential candidate, and her guilty pleasure obsession.
But before we get to our really fun interview with Alexandra, or Alex, as I guess she told us to call her, we want to talk about our pal and friend of the podcast, Prince Harry, who hosted this past weekend. It was kind of a surprise when I saw it on social media, because sometimes these things get announced way in advance or you know they're happening for a long time. But this, as far as I can tell, came out of nowhere that they posted a photo that Harry had hung out with Barack Obama, the former president. I needed to add that in case anyone just wasn't clear who Barack Obama was. Now everyone knows.
No need to Wikipedia him. Josh has you covered.
Don't ask Siri. I just filled you guys in at Kensington Palace. Why they met was, according to Time, it was to discuss support for veterans, mental health, conservation, empowering young people, the work of their respective foundations. Obama had offered his condolences to the victims of the Manchester attack and support for those recovering from injuries. But we're not going to focus on those serious, worthy, important topics and instead discuss what we want to believe they were also talking about otherwise. Yeah. So, Julie, first of all, were you as excited? I was excited about this friendship lasting even past Obama being in office.
Right. It's a bromance, a veritable bromance, I think we can say. I was very excited because my brother Jack, who he's not very into pop culture or royals, but he actually tweeted us this news link, and President Obama tweeted a very great picture of the two of them hanging out, which was everything I wanted. They were wearing, like, they had huge grins on their face. Both looked very handsome. They had white button-down shirts and blazers, but, like, no tie, top buttons unbuttoned. Like, they were really relaxed. So
they both, I think they both really loved that. When I think of, you know, like action figure, when you imagine what someone's, go-to outfit would be, like if they were an action figure, I feel like for both of them right now, it's that look, the blazer with no tie, unbuttoned shirt. I feel like that sums up Harry and now in this stage of his life, Obama, really well. But, so I was like, oh, this is such an indicative photo.
But I would write in because I want, at this point, the special collection Obama figurine of him in that leather jacket.
Oh, yeah. Well, someone brought this up the other day at a, like, edit meeting. Like, the looks his whole style seems very different post-presidency. He almost has, like, a GQ cover kind of vibe to his looks, including the leather jacket look. His looks in Italy were all like that, too. Yeah.
But I just want to believe that I...
Definitely the main thing to be talking about in reference to Barack Obama also. He's a stylish guy. I think he's a male model, famous on Instagram.
I wonder how long the meeting was between. I want to believe that it was like, I don't know.
I think it's interesting too, because they were in Italy. So he must have said to his staff or his handler, or whoever books his travel, you know, let's make a stop in London ostensibly just to see Harry, right?
Do you think they text?
I could see them really hitting it off. It makes a lot more sense to me than him and William. I don't know really why, but I just see Harry. Don't you kind of see it?
I feel like President Obama has a really, former President Obama, has a really great sense of humor. And I think Harry does as well. I know Harry did some things with Michelle Obama for the Invictus game. So I just feel like they really have some commonality and just like personalities.
I think what we are all waiting for, and will actually probably be the end of this podcast, because once this happens, there'll be no purpose for us anymore, will be when Barack and Michelle have a double date with Harry and Meghan.
Right.
Which I feel like is not too far off. It somehow seems very likely to me to happen soon. That would actually be a great debut for like their engagement or something.
Oh, First public outing. Right. I would love that. But Josh, let's fantasy fiction out this scenario. Do you think that Prince Harry like walked down to the Kensington Palace Whole Foods and like went shopping for Obama? Like, I really want Obama to try out this new cheese. I don't know. What do you
think?
See,
I feel like I think if Meghan was around, maybe she would have said, you know, Harry, you know, aren't you going to crack open one of these recipes from, I don't know, the Meghan Markle artisanal handwritten cookbook that she has on hand at all times. But I think when it's just Harry, if anything, if he left it to his own devices to keep it sort of a no-frills hangout, I see him taking out like a Triscuits box or like Ritz crackers and being like, hey, you know, I forgot, like, are you hungry? Like, want some of these? Like, I don't think he's in any way pre-plans it.
He didn't even pour the crackers into a bowl.
No.
He just offered him the already open box.
And I feel like Barack Obama was like, oh, great. You know, like, I don't think either of them cares. I think they're just kind of are down. You know, maybe they walked to pick up a slice of pizza or something. I think it's very, very low key. I don't see Harry. I don't know. Unless this is, he thinks, you know, this is like his special fancy friend where he has to do something like that. But I don't really see it.
I don't see it either. But obviously they had very important, serious matters to discuss. But I would love to believe that in some world, maybe there was a half hour at the end of the conversation, at the end of the hangout, where Obama like asked him what the latest was with Meghan.
Yeah. And I feel like he would bring it up because I feel like he kind of, you know, he's not nervous about kind of making jokes and, you know, that kind of stuff. I feel like he would rib Harry if they have a good relationship.
And I feel like if anyone has watched Suits, I feel like President Obama has maybe caught an episode. For some reason, I can just see that lining up.
Well, it's funny because I think we've both noticed. I mean, my parents watch it. I feel like I've come across other people's parents who have watched it. I feel like it's a show for that age demographic. Eats that stuff up, the procedural USA vibe. And I could see it too. I could see him being into it. In which case, maybe he's familiar with Meghan's work.
I wonder if like Harry asked him for any sort of relationship advice or if Harry outlined his proposal plans to Obama.
If you're going to ask anyone for advice, you know, why, if Barack Obama's like, you know, eating Triscuits with you, I think why not, right? I would ask him for advice on literally anything in my life. So I don't know why he went about this high profile relationship that the world is watching, which must be, you know, kind of eating away at his insides that everyone's watching every move. So I don't know. I think maybe, yeah.
You know that he read that People magazine. He had a lot of follow-up questions that he was saving.
Do
for
you think Meghan checked in when she knew this meeting was happening? Like during, do you think she FaceTimed in? Do you think she called after? Do you think she kind of played it low key?
I think she played it low key, but she definitely...
Wow, I love that solemn pause where you really took in the gravity of that question. Okay.
I think if this were Tig era Meghan, I think that she would have tried to like get something out of it for her, as she should have for her blog, Rest
right.
in Peace.
Rest in Peace. Pour out a balsamic vinaigrette jar.
But no, I think she definitely wants to know how it went after. I think she asked if her name came up. I think it's one of those things where she was like, so what did you guys talk about?
On that note, we had a really great chat last week with Alexandra Daddario a few days before her movie Baywatch was set to come out. She, as Julie mentioned before, we talked about Zac Efron, The Rock, her role in the movie and what it was like filming it.
She has a lot of thoughts about Zac Efron being cast as Ted Bundy, which was very interesting to hear.
So let's toss it to that interview we did last week. We are so excited today to have Alex Daddario, the star of Baywatch, which is coming out. I guess when you're listening to this, I'm not sure what day it will be, but it comes out on Friday, Memorial Day weekend, Thursday, midnight the night before.
Yes.
You might know her from True Detective, San Andreas. Yeah, we're really excited to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So how's this week been? I know like the week before a huge movie like this comes out, there's all sorts of stuff. Is it exhausting? Is it fun? It must be like all sorts of...
It's a combination of everything, but mostly it's exciting. And this is the biggest press tour I've been on. It's very surreal. You sort of feel, you know, I live a very normal life and I don't really feel like any kind of celebrity in my normal life. So when you're doing these press, especially when you're hanging out with Zac Efron and doing all the press with Zac Efron, it's like... You do feel like in this bubble of weird celebrity and paparazzi and that kind of thing. It's really fun. I get tired, but it's almost like you're just on this adrenaline high, so you just keep going.
Had you been a fan of the original TV show or?
You know, I had never seen the original TV show for whatever reason. I don't know. It wasn't just one of the things that popped up on TV in our households. But I watched all the E! True Hollywood Stories of all the cast members or the ones that they had. And Yasmin Bleeth in particular was one of the people that I became sort of fascinated by. So I became fascinated by Baywatch sort of through the lies of the actors. And Pamela Anderson had obviously all of this crazy stuff happen.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee and, you know, men just were literally falling to pieces over her. She's like the ultimate, you know, there's just...
Like the pinup kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, and it just created such a storm of craziness with Tommy Lee just could not... He just was so... in love with her and all the drama that went with them. And so it made for some fascinating E! True Hollywood Stories.
I got to see the movie on Monday night, which was so fun. And I guess I sort of maybe hadn't been aware, but like when Pamela Anderson makes her cameo at the end, I was like, whoa, like it was really exciting to like see. And David Hasselhoff too.
Yeah. I think it was important to have the two of them in the film, you know, their Baywatch.
Yeah.
So it was important to have their support, and it was really cool that they both came and were a part of it.
Was it fun having them on set?
Right. Like, did they come and, like, fact check anything for you guys? Like, no, you're doing this wrong, since they were, like, the originals?
No, not that I'm aware of. They may have, I don't know, but the creators of Baywatch actually were involved, their producers on the film. So I think that they would have been more the people who are fact checking or sort of making decisions. But it was exciting to have the whole set would be a buzz with, you know, the week before David Hasselhoff and Ben Anderson came. Everyone would be talking about how they're coming, and we were all so excited to... It was cool. I was very starstruck.
I feel like David Hasselhoff's the one where you just like bite the bullet and ask for like a selfie or something.
Right. Because
I feel like he's
but
just...
I haven't actually met him yet.
Oh,
because I wasn't working when he came to set. And I didn't actually know which day exactly. I somehow missed it. So I'm going to meet him in Berlin. And Germany is obviously
That's
so
his place.
Excited for Baywatch.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, forget about America and Zac Efron. Like, no disrespect to him, but I feel like David Hasselhoff in Germany is going to, like, be mob scene.
He's, like, the biggest pop star in Germany or something.
Right.
He has a huge music career there.
Oh. Wait, I so am not aware of this.
Yes.
Like, currently? Like, it's like...
Oh, yes.
They go wild. He sells out tours.
No,
I know.
He is, like, a combination of Michael Jackson and Brad Pitt. And, like, he is a huge, huge star in Germany.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I wish you were taking, like, a doc... You have to take some sort of footage of just, like, following him around. Like, people faint. Painting to the left and right. Yeah. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and that's not even to say that he's not a huge star elsewhere, because everybody knows who David Hasselhoff is, but I think it's just a different level of fervor in Germany.
Wow, that's amazing. My David Hasselhoff knowledge is not nearly extensive enough.
It wasn't, but for me, it wasn't either until I did this movie.
One of the things, like, I feel like watching the movie, I was with a colleague of mine from Vanity Fair, and we were both saying that it just seemed like the crew, the, like, six of you, the main, you know, crew, just had this great chemistry and vibe. Like, all the dynamics were just, like, so, I don't know, fun. Was it that way filming? I just feel like it seems like the kind of thing where you guys all got along really well.
Yes.
And, like, was it that way, in fact?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, every actor is instructed and has to say when they go do a press tour.
Yeah, we all got along.
They
so
like,
well,
oh,
yeah.
We all loved each other. Meanwhile, when you hear the real stories, it's just nightmarish.
And then, like, a year later.
Right. So, but this is truly, you know, and these are people that Ilfinesh and John Bass in particular are two people that I talk to pretty regularly, and we're friends, and we go and we hang out, and, you know, it's always cool when you have these long-term relationships and friendships that you build off of working together. But we all got along so well, and we have a lot of the movies improvised, and that's like our own senses of humor and our own sort of just chemistry. And our we have to be comfortable with each other to sort of have that kind of improv going, which not to say every scene is, but you know, it's important. We're really lucky. There's some incredibly talented people in this cast, and I think people will be amazed by what a lot of this cast ends up doing and where their careers go.
And you had worked with The Rock before on San Andreas.
Do you call him The Rock like when you know him and work together, or is it Dwayne?
So
that's a great question. I've never thought about
so
that.
So no, I do not call him The Rock to his face. I'm sure if I did, he'd be like, hey, because he's the nicest guy ever. But no, I call him Dwayne, but I call him The Rock behind his back. And sometimes I just fully say Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But the thing that everyone calls him is DJ.
Oh.
On set, everyone's like, DJ, 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 DJ. So for some reason, I never really started calling him DJ. I always call him Dwayne. But yeah, definitely I call him The Rock.
He just seems like the nicest, warmest, over-the-top, like, nice person.
He is. And he's got a great sense of humor, and he doesn't take himself too seriously in the wrong way. He wants to be happy, and he wants to make other people happy and lift other people up. And he's always complimentary towards the people he works with. And you watch him promote these films, and every film he does, he singles out every cast member that he's working with, and he talks them up and talks about their good qualities and really supports the people around him. And I think that's so smart. It's not calculated. He genuinely really wants to lift people up, but it's also so smart because, you know, you're in a movie where you're building these people's careers, and the more people that know them, the more that, you know, people will be interested in them and the film. And so his support, he knows that, like, loving and supporting other people can only benefit you. And that's a huge lesson to learn that some people struggle with. And he's a great guy.
That's so true. And writing, too, I feel like it's the same way. Like, it's so nice when people are supportive and, like, helpful and propping people up and not, you know, it's nice.
It's not all about him.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and it can get that. And I totally get that. And so it's hard work sometimes to focus on other people when you have a million people around all the time and a million people to deal with and to be friendly to. And he genuinely cares about supporting people around him.
I'm sure you saw his, like, SNL thing, his, like, presidential campaign. Are you in support of his political ambitions or whatever?
You know, I actually am. It's fascinating because I think that the line between celebrity and politicians it's blurred.
Yeah.
I think because politicians, especially now in the age of the way, you know, social media is and the internet, politicians are celebrities. I don't think that people are distinguishing between them anymore, which is great, because I actually think Dwayne will make a great president if he should if he's serious about it. And because when you have someone who's as hardworking and honest as he is, who knows how to surround himself with great people and build this empire that he's built, I think that, you know, I think it would be a good choice.
I saw him and Tom Hanks on that stage. I was like, I'd be down for this. I was like,
Tom Hanks too.
Yeah,
I'm
know.
Down for Tom Hanks.
I trust them with, like, you know, I don't know. They can take, like, legal rights for my, you know, whatever. I don't know.
You would trust them with having life support command.
Yeah, right. Yes. That's what I was going for.
But I feel like The Rock, like, you hear about that, and I feel like he does have those same skills, just in talking to everybody on set and singling people out. I feel like that's such a big component of the job. And it just sounds like he has that.
He does. I mean, obviously, he's a great public speaker. He would do a really, I think, good job communicating with the American public.
Right. Yeah.
He's a great communicator.
What was the most surprising thing you learned about him while making this movie?
I don't think that there was something the most. I think it's just interesting to see somebody who's so famous and sort of godlike in a lot of ways, and just to see him be human, and to see him interact with his family, and to see just to see somebody that you is on this pedestal or is sort of untouchable in a way, and just see him as a normal person. And it's that's sort of fascinating to see. But there isn't a lot that will surprise you about him in that he's exactly who he portrays himself to be he's not dishonest about his who he is. So when you meet him, you're like, I feel right. I know you. Yeah.
It's not like the door is closed and he like throws a chair against the wall. Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I know I read somewhere you had to go through this like kind of intensive like training regimen for this. Was that stressful? Was that like fun to get in great shape? Like, was that, I don't know. I
know. I get nervous about like my friends seeing me in a swimming suit at the beach. So I can't even imagine preparing for millions of people.
It's strange. I never expected my career to go in this direction. When I first started acting, I never, you know, with the True Detective of it all and sort of the way that I'm sort of seen as this sexy character, which is, I've actually in my life been very uncomfortable with my sexuality, and I was very nerdy, and I've never been like, I haven't had a lot of boyfriends or anything like that. I don't feel like the girl from True Detective. So going and being a Baywatch babe is sort of a character for me. So I sort of approached it from that place of, okay, I'm getting into shape and I'm going to work out really hard and work really hard on, you know, being this role that I'm supposed to be. And, you know, by the time I get to set, I think, you know, I felt confident that I had achieved what I needed to achieve. And that there's another thing is that, you know, I think as you get older, in my early 20s, it would have been a completely different story. I would have been literally having a panic attack. I would have been completely unpleasant to be around, asking everybody, do I look fat? Which is, I think, you know, it's insecurity. And I think as I've gotten older, you develop more confidence just as far as, okay, I've put the work in, it's going to be what it is. And I think that, you know, I hope, it sounds a bit strange because I am promoting Baywatch, but I do hope that, you know, we're reaching a point where we're more accepting of women of all different shapes and sizes. And there's, you know, I want young women to be confident and to know that it's not just about looking good in a swimsuit, and that this is part of the joke of Baywatch, that there's these supernaturally good looking people who've been working out for 5 months to get prepared for this role, and it's men and women, and that's part of the joke that we're like CIA agents super, on the beach, and we're all like, it doesn't make any sense, and that's the joke of it. So it can be intimidating, and you know, I just hope that people know that like it's all ridiculous and fake.
You just reminded me of one of my favorite scenes in the movie, which is I'm blanking on his character.
John Bass.
Yeah, what's his character's name? I forgot.
Anyway. Ronnie.
Yeah, when Ronnie's eating the salad and everyone, and you guys, like Ronnie's eating the salad and then the rest of them are like these supernaturally beautiful people.
Yeah, I was like chowing down spaghetti. That was one of my favorite scenes.
And like you guys are all eating this crazy food. He's like, wait, like I thought you guys all ate like salads to like look like this. And you're like, no, we eat like, you know,
yeah,
carbs,
we just eat
pasta,
whatever we want. Because we just look like this.
Yeah. I feel like that was really funny and just like got at what you're talking about.
Right.
That kind of like
self-awareness.
We're like a little bit, yeah, exactly. We're self-aware about the idea that these people are like supernaturally good looking. And yeah.
And speaking of John Bass and Ronnie, I said to him while we were shooting, and I think he's just so funny in the movie.
Yeah,
and he's so good. And he had such a difficult role in a way to come in and be the guy that is the butt of the jokes as far as not looking
like everyone,
else and having the one who's eating the salad going, how do you guys look like this? And he did such a great job in the role. And I'm excited to see what John Bass ends up doing, you know, in his career, because he's very funny.
Is this his first big?
It's his first big movie, but he was in Book of Mormon.
Oh,
he replaced Josh Gad in Book of Mormon on Broadway.
Nice.
And he's done. He was on Big Time Hollywood, Florida. Just sort of a cultish TV show. And
ooh.
So I think people will be very impressed by John Bass.
So I'm also curious, when the filming ended, did you continue to be like, were you like, did you go to like Burger King for like the next week, or were you more just like, speaking of that kind of stuff, or have you kind of maintained the Baywatch like seep through your...
No. I can't maintain it. I'm too lazy. I mean,
and you're talking to someone who hasn't been to the gym probably like 6 months. So like anything is more than I do. So
I stay in good shape, obviously. I think it's important. And as an actor, like your body is your, you know, it's your tool. But I got to a point where it was non-maintainable. But we did start to cheat. Like in the middle of filming, we're like, this is going to last another month. Like, why do we don't need to keep dieting? So, and we were in Savannah, Georgia. So there's great Southern food. And we started, you know, we'd start drinking and eating and enjoying the best that Savannah has to offer.
Did you get a lot of time to just hang out with the cast and
a little bit of time? And yeah, we'd go out and eat. Some nights we did have some nights out drinking, but we weren't like a huge party animal cast or anything. And we would just hang out. I mean, there wasn't that much time. There was a lot of time on set, so we did a lot of hanging out in the trailers and on the beach, and we were sort of all in it together. The girls, you know, Kelly Ilfenesh and myself, we were getting, because we were on this little island called Tybee Island, so obviously having Baywatch and having The Rock and having Zach there was a huge deal. So the paparazzi, and I actually read an article recently about paparazzi, and they said like Baywatch was a perfect movie for paparazzis to go and shoot.
Because everything's so outside.
Because it was like, all outside, big stars and girls in bikinis. Mm-hmm. So I think
it was like
that
the perfect storm.
Yeah.
They never left the beach. So we were sort of all in it together as far as, this is getting annoying. We can't, you have to keep your stomach sucked in. You can't, you know, eat a hamburger, eat anything, or they'll get a weird foot. So we were sort of, it was just sort of this weird little bubble of Baywatch, and now we're back in it. And sort of just the oddness of feeling, you know, like you're famous for a brief period. And then you go back and turn into a pumpkin and, you know, can't get a special table at a restaurant. But it's like, it's sort of a fun little thing that we all got to be part of and experience.
Had you worked with Zach before, or was this the first experience?
This was my first experience with him. I met him at my screen test, which is an odd thing to go and have a chemistry test with someone you're supposed to be a love interest
with.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
And you're in a bikini.
Yeah, it's Zac Efron. Yeah, I know.
And so part of me is like, oh my God, it's Zac Efron. And then part of me is like, okay, let's see if we have any chemistry. And how do you find out if you have chemistry with someone if you've known them for 60 seconds?
Right.
So you just have to look them in the eye and just start talking.
That's like, and that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Usually, is it like you read a scene or what happens? It's like,
you read a scene that you've memorized and then we did some improv. So that was the part where it's just like, okay, I'm just going to talk to you.
And
see how you react. And then if you react one way, I'm going to play off of that. And if you react another, I'm going to play off of that in a different way.
Now, were you like a High School Musical? Like, were you like a Zac Efron person? Did you know all of his stuff?
And... You know, I wasn't a Zac Efron. I never saw High School Musical. And at one point while we were shooting, he was like dancing in the trailer. And I was like, oh my God, you're a really good dancer. I didn't know that. Like, and everyone looked at me like, are you out of your mind? I totally...
Like your pop culture blind. Yeah.
I, for some reason, like completely blacked out that Zac Efron is a dancer.
I sort of forget. I mean, I feel like even having seen the movies, I forget that a little bit. Because, I mean, he hasn't... Oh, he did Hairspray, I guess, too. Yeah.
I've seen Hairspray. I have literally no idea why I forgot. But I think I've always thought Zach is a really, really good actor.
Yeah.
And that's why I think he's had such a long career. And I'm very curious to see everything he does. He's about to play Ted Bundy.
I know.
And I'm so curious
to see excited to hear that
news. We were both really excited about that.
Well, are you obsessed with serial killers? Like, I am obsessed with serial killers.
Oh, this is your perfect storm, especially. Wow. Have you been, talking
true
to
crime
him?
And yes. Now, and, you know, Zach. Yeah,
I
exactly.
love true crime stories, and Ted Bundy is fascinating to me.
Right.
Because he's a sociopath who was a lawyer and so handsome and had all these girlfriends that loved him and like supported him and didn't believe that it was possible that he would kill anyone. Meanwhile, he's killing just dozens of people on the reg. And he was able to convince all these people in his life that he was a normal person. And that's such a terrifying and fascinating character. And it's fascinating for the other people in his life who didn't know who he was.
Oh my God.
So I find that to be really
compelling.
This is
going to be good. This is going to be really good. I feel like it's going to be, I'm excited for this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Have you been talking to him about the role and everything? Like quizzing him because you know so much about.
No, I haven't been quizzing him. I did say I love Ted Bundy. Not love. Hold on.
Wow, now we're seeing the Ted Bundy effect.
Fascinated by Ted Bundy. Yeah. And I love this role for you. And, you know, we did get asked, he got asked some questions in interviews that he answered. So I sort of, but I think he, you know, all he said was, I'm excited to take on the role.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I'm so curious because you noted kind of the paparazzi that were ever lingering. And I feel like when you're part of a production like that, where people are watching, people are naturally linked to their co-stars and there's that sort of attention. Did you, and I saw that you and Zach were linked. What is that like being at the center of that speculation? It's again like being on the beach in a swimsuit in front of millions of people, but like being the source of like this, I guess, rumors by millions of people.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why it happened and we're very good friends. So I think that some of the sort of like affection that we show each other as friends, you know, I understand why people think that. Being in this Baywatch, I just feel like I'm in a weird bubble. It's a little surreal to be part of something where everything you do is, you know, it's fine. It's just, it's an interesting thing. You know, we're on a press tour and people are going to write stories and say things and make sense.
And there could be worse rumors, I think. Link me to Zac Efron.
There's no way that when I was like in high school that I would have ever dated anyone as attractive or cool as Zac Efron. And now people like legitimately think that I'm.
Yeah, that's. You know.
Which is, I think that's cool.
I think take it, put on your LinkedIn page, just like.
That's great.
I'm curious about what is your ideal Friday night these days? Like, I know that you're super busy with Baywatch right now and all the publicity, but if you weren't working, like, is there a TV show you're super into binge watching or?
So right now, I rarely go out. I love to stay in and I'm obsessed with this show called The Geordie Shore. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Right. Because you guys are Americans.
No
one knows what it is. It is the most amazing show. It's the British version of Jersey Shore, but it's so much better. And it is.
You were blowing my mind.
It's just amazing. I wish you have to watch it. The stars of Jersey Shore should be huge stars in America.
I can't believe this isn't like a huge. I mean, it sounds amazing.
So I'll sit down and watch that. And I've watched this. There's like 14 or 15 seasons and I've watched it all through everything that's available on iTunes twice. So I'm in the middle of binge watching it for the second time.
Oh, wow.
And like learning new things that I missed the first time.
Do you have like one favorite character?
Yeah. So there's this girl named Charlotte and I think she's pretty much everybody's favorite character, Charlotte Crosby. And she is just the most charming woman that you will ever see.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to watch this.
But also out of her mind, but in the best way.
And are they just like constantly binge drinking?
They're constantly binge drinking and sleeping with each other, obviously. But it takes place in this place called Newcastle. So they have this accent that I've never heard before. Completely different British accent than I've ever heard. You can sometimes barely understand what they're saying, so it's subtitled. But so Charlotte Crosby has this like love. This long-term love affair with one of the guys in the house named Gaz Beetle, whose real name is Gary, but everyone calls him Gaz. And Gaz is this Lothario that will sleep with anybody.
Oh my God.
And honestly, every single night, there's a new girl. But then he'll like be in love with Charlotte, but then... bring a new girl home. And it's this constant for years back and forth of Charlotte being like, oh, we're in love. Oh no, he's such a jerk. Oh no, we're in love. Oh, he's brought another. Oh, and they call it pulling. If you pull a girl. So she always goes, why did you pull a girl? Or did Gaz pull a girl? And then if he did, you know, it's like, I can't believe he pulled a girl. I don't love him anymore. And and it's just this constant
back and
forth.
We need to find Charlotte a nice guy.
I know. She's dating someone now.
Oh, okay, good.
But, you know, I hope it lasts. I hope he's a good dude because she's had some trouble with men.
Alex, I want you to meet this cast. I feel like you need to meet them.
I
feel like that can be arranged
so
somehow.
Badly. I want to go to Newcastle and go to the bars that they always hang out in. I'm obsessed with them.
Are you
And some of them are terrible people.
Right. Are you going to London on the press tour?
I sure am. And don't think that I'm not going to bring it up.
I was going to say, this has to somehow be orchestrated. I don't know how. Someone needs to invite them to a premiere or something. I don't know if we want them at a premiere, but maybe we do.
We're not doing a London premiere, but if we were, I fully had already intended on asking my publicist to make sure that we invited the cast of the Geordie Shore.
You would get like a plus 10 to bring to that after party.
Just a casual plus 10 for the robot.
It would be my joy to meet them. I highly recommend the show.
I want to ask also about True Detective. Yes. So I was so curious. That show was obviously such a... I don't even remember the last TV show that took over like the popular culture world. What was it like just being... Were you aware that it was going to become such a thing?
No, I didn't actually... When I auditioned for a different role, and I was offered this role without knowing exactly what it was, but it was I was sort of having trouble in my career getting into certain rooms for things at the time. I remember there was like a Wonder Woman pilot, and they wouldn't see me on it. Mm. And there were other things, and I was like, I feel like I should be getting in for these auditions. And I was like, you know what? I need to work with a high caliber of people because Hollywood is pretentious just like everything else.
It's who you've worked with, who you know.
And also I wanted to work with good people. I just because I if you look at it from a career perspective, I thought it was a good career move, but I also just wanted to learn from different people, and you know, I thought it was a good job. So I sort of thought that it would be something that I'd put on my resume, and in auditions you'd walk in and they'd be looking at your resume, which they always do, and they go, oh, you worked with Cary Fukunaga, you worked with Woody Harrelson, and you worked with Matthew McConaughey. Tell me about that. So I thought that that would be like a good thing to have on my resume. I thought it was a small part that I didn't think anybody would notice. And the getting naked actually made me incredibly nervous. But I thought that it was worth it.
Yeah.
And I had nothing to lose. And I just sort of tried to not think about it. And what ended up happening was completely not what I expected at all, which I think is so interesting. Because a lot of people, you hear these stories about actors that their biggest thing and the thing that they become known for is something that they never thought.
Expected was going to
be. Like High School Musical, I feel like no one knew what High School Musical was going to turn into.
No, completely.
So, you know, the episode aired and that I was in, and my managers just said the phone was ringing off the hook, and all of a sudden everyone in Hollywood wanted to meet with me. And I think I was cast in San Andreas like a couple weeks later. So it was this huge thing for me.
Yeah, wow.
That I just definitely did not expect at all. And I got very lucky. I mean, it's you know, a lot of this job is luck. Yeah. It's like, you know, they say it's like preparation and opportunity, luck, whatever that quote is. But
yeah,
it's exactly what happened, I think, with that.
Did Woody or Matthew, when you're working with them, did they have like career advice sort of things? Or was it more just, I mean, I don't know if that was the kind of vibe on set or not, but was that something that they ever imparted to you?
No, you know, Matthew, I believe he was in character the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, oh my God.
There wasn't a lot of chit chat. Yeah.
And he was in character.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to know him because I didn't work with him closely. But Woody Harrelson, he didn't impose career advice or anything, but he was so nice and made me feel so comfortable. And, you know, he would email me before the movie came out and just say, like, you're great. And before the show came out, and just say, you're great in the show. And very supportive.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I think that is the most amazing thing when you have someone you've looked up to your whole life really just support you and then, like, give you a great compliment like that.
Yeah.
That is, it's very encouraging, and it's very kind. So everyone was very, you know, kind throughout that process.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's just so fun too, that it was like all the theories, and I'm sure people always wanted to talk to you about like what, I don't know, they were imagining them, like the monsters were and that sort of thing. I feel like it's fun to be a part of that kind of thing.
Oh, it was very, very cool and very interesting. I can't tell you how lucky I feel to have had that opportunity. And have had it work out the way that it worked out, and to be part of something that everybody knows is always cool. And you know, it did lead to San Andreas. I'm not sure that San Andreas would have been something I booked if it hadn't been for True Detective. And San Andreas was really great for my career as well, and an incredibly cool experience, and a movie that I'm very proud of.
How do you describe Baywatch to your friend? Are you like, when you tell people to go see it, or how are you explaining it? Like, what's your stuff? Do you have like a way you explain it? What do you say?
It's 2 hours of fun and laughing. And that's what I think we all need.
And if I feel like it's sort of set up that a sequel would be a possibility. Is that something you'd be excited? Is that something you guys have talked about at all? Is that?
Yes, I believe that, you know, this was something that Dwayne set out to turn into a franchise.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we all were prepared to do when we got, when we signed shot on, yeah, the movie. Yeah.
I feel like, especially with, like, I don't know, I don't want to spoil anything if people haven't seen it, but the way, like, the ending works out, yes, I feel like it's very easy to imagine.
Yes.
Well, I hope that they get to do the sequel before he begins the political career, at least, because he can't take that.
Yeah, break. It would be absolutely amazing to have a sitting president be shooting Baywatch 2 while he's in office, like maybe on the weekends instead of golfing.
Yeah, given how things are working out, I was about to say that actually probably be like more normal than what we have now.
I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, yeah. Dwayne is, he's definitely a multitasker. So,
yeah,
but I don't know that people would go for that. But yeah, so hopefully we can get in San Andreas 2 and Baywatch 2 before anyone from the cast is, you know, living in a political office.
Well, Alex, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I know.
We're so excited.
Good luck in Germany and good luck on this publicity tour.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's nice talking to you guys.
Yeah. Can't wait to, you have to let us know if David Hasselhoff's response is.
I am so excited.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And good luck meeting. You have to meet Geordie Shore.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Please, if any of them listen.
Yeah.
Please. I love you so much.
If we
much.
Can achieve anything for Alex in this, like coming on this
please,
podcast,
be my
if
friend.
If you know anyone on the show,
DM me.
Yeah. Let us know.
Slide
yeah.
into my DMs, Gaz.
There we go.
Let's be
the
friends.
The invitation has been made. So.
But only friends.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the. You and Charlotte are meant to be.
Yeah. You don't want to be. You don't want to get in the middle of anything, I don't think.
No.
Amazing.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank
so
you
much.
So much.
That was our conversation with Alex Daddario. Go see her in Baywatch, out in theaters now. And we just have one more casting item. Speaking of Alex's thoughts on Zac Efron being cast as Ted Bundy, that we wanted to make sure we got into the podcast. So, Josh, take it away.
Well, I feel like this is a confluence of our... we have many varied interests, Julie and I, but this really hits the sweet spot of many of them. I love this intro, by the way, in the script, Julie. Julie wrote in, as if playing a disgraced former MMA fighter wasn't enough gold. That should be the beginning of this trailer for whatever movie this is. And the movie is, I'm going to answer my own question. Blake Lively is set to star in CBS Films thriller, The Husband's Secret. The story follows a wife, mother, and chronic perfectionist who inadvertently discovers that her husband has been keeping a secret from her for years, a secret that leads her to realize that her life is built on a foundations of lies and murder. And as you may have been able to surmise based on that description, the book was written by Leanne Moriarty, who wrote Big Little Lies, obviously, as anyone who's even listened to so much as a minute of this podcast should know. Was a big obsession of ours earlier this year. And so this is a different book that I guess she wrote. I don't know if she wrote it before or after, but we're really excited about this.
And Julie
has read the book. I didn't even know that until this second when I just read it here.
I read The Husband's Secret first. And like The Big Little Lies, it's one of those books that goes so fast. You read it so quickly. But then 24 hours after you've turned that last page, you have no idea what it was about. It is not a book that sticks with you, but boy, is it fun. And you can use that as the pull quote in the next printing of that book. But it's going to be a really good role for Blake, because I do recall that she thinks her life is going perfectly, this young wife, and then she's cleaning out her attic one day. And she comes across this note in an envelope addressed to her. She opens it, and I believe it was written for, you know, in case her husband wasn't around anymore, he has to let her in on, as the title suggests, a crazy secret. I have a lot of thoughts on this. I'm a little torn because I would have loved for this to be like a spiritual sequel for Big Little Lies, for Laura Dern, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman to get back at it, you know, put on the crazy Audrey Hepburn hats. But I'm happy for Blake. I want Ryan Reynolds to play the husband. How great of a stunt casting would that be?
I really like how you're pushing for this to basically be a documentary about Blake Lively's life. This would be a perfect role for Blake Chiari. So, and it's like this like really dark secret about the husband. I mean, yeah, I think Ryan and Blake should do a movie together, because I feel like they've built up their joint brand over the past few years. You know, it's so much, every item usually about one of them involves their relationship or their kids. And I think it's time for them to do a movie together. Well, I guess they've already done one. They did Green Lantern. I always forget that.
Oh, right. That's kind of...
That Criterion classic, yeah. But I think they need to do a new one now, because they're in a different phase now. They're married. They can lean into the idea that they're playing, you know. And also, I think it's kind of fun. I don't know what I'm basing this on, but I feel like it's kind of fun when a real life lovey-dovey, really, you know, doing great couple plays, you know, a couple that's at odds or somehow, you know, a dark mystery kind of element to it.
On the fritz. I agree. Josh, okay, if it isn't Ryan Reynolds, who would you like to see play her husband?
This is because one of my favorite periods in pop culture was the brief period of time when Leonardo DiCaprio and Blake Lively dated. And there were the strangest photos of them doing... First of all, they were city biking in New York, which is one photo set that is very important to me. And then there was another photo set when they went on vacation to Italy, and they're in this church. And then they're taking photos of each other in Shakespeare's theater or something. And these are great photos. If you haven't seen them, look them up. But I feel like Leo could play her husband and have a sort of sinister air about him in the role. And it could really work. Can you see it?
I can see that.
Did you imagine someone like Blake playing it when you read it? Not that you remember any of the details, but do you remember thinking, does Blake seem like a natural fit to you?
No, because I would have gone more with Reese Witherspoon. Just, I was picturing her a little bit older, a little bit more experienced in life. And Reese Witherspoon is beautiful, obviously, but it's like a slightly more relatable beauty. Does that make sense? Does that come off as...
That should also be a tagline for something, for her next fragrance launch or something.
But I'm CBS Films is queuing up this podcast in their casting meetings, because they were desperate to know who Josh Duboff and Julie Miller wanted to cast opposite Blake.
I have a bad feeling that it's going to be one of these situations where they cast an unknown or relatively unknown male lead. I feel like they did that in some other Blake movie I saw recently. Oh, maybe it was Age of Adeline. He was kind of known, the guy from Game of Thrones, Michael Huisman. He was great. But
Josh, I haven't seen Age of Adeline. Is it good?
Jesus. we're ending this episode right here. Thank God it's almost over, because I don't know if I can deal with that. You have to see it, Julie.
Josh like winced after I said that and turned away from me.
That's as dark as things get between us. It's actually pretty good, considering that it's a preposterous kind of premise for a film that she never ages. But yeah, I have a feeling that somehow it's, I don't know why, I just have this sense it's going to be someone that we don't really know. It's not going to be a big name actor. Also, Blake could totally fit in the world of Big Little Lies. So that's the only reason that I was like, oh, this kind of makes sense. Like, she could have played a version of Shailene Woodley. She wouldn't have been Shailene Woodley's character. She could have played... I guess her age makes it tricky. I was going to say she could have played Reese's character in a few years, though. Well, Julie's expression there. We'll let you guys imagine how Julie reacted to that hypothesis. All right. Well, Blake, we're really excited. And this is a continuation of our casting news feature, which we've gotten great feedback about. We only have one to share this time. Next time we do it, we'll have more items to share. I think a rule of the I think we should only do it when there's a Blake casting item. I think that's become the rule.
Blake's casting corner with Josh and Julie.
Blake's casting corner. Someone, you know, we need music or something for that. Well, so that does it for this week's episode of In the Limelight. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps us find new listeners. Let us know what you think. And yeah, let us know about if you've seen Baywatch yet. Send any messages for Alexandra Daddario our way. We'll relay them to her, we promise.
Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In the Limelight. We want to hear your feedback about what you think Barack Obama and Prince Harry discussed and also who you think should play opposite Blake in The Husband's Secret. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
And I'm Jay Duboff. We also are on Instagram at In The Limelight Pod. This episode was produced by Jordan Bell and edited by Afim Shapiro. Thanks to Andy Bowers at Panoply. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you next week.